Our reading this morning is taken from Revelation chapter 21, or the first part of our reading this morning is taken from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 10. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated at the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this. I will be their God and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and the liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death."
Thanks, Sam. Well, allow me to add my welcome to you. It's great to have you here at CBC, worshipping the Lord God Almighty. Today we are wrapping up our series, our four-week series in the book of Revelation, which has also included our Insanity of God event with Nick Ripken. It was a pack out here last Saturday evening. And I just want to give a couple of shouts out to a few different people. I really just want to say thank you to Sam, who has put a lot of work in coordinating this Revelation series for us and coordinating the Nick Ripken event. It was a lot of work there and it's been a real blessing. I also want to give a real shout out to Crystal Ray, who's on Red Frogs at the moment, and young Sade Spencer, who I think's in year 9. They have actually been drawing the back screens for us each week throughout our series, if you've been following along with us on a Sunday. And so for us, it's really exciting, because God is rising up a fresh wave of creativity to colour our church. And to that, I am very grateful for, and we are very blessed as well. I'm going to pray, and we're going to open up the Word of God together. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, we come before you, and in my heart, I feel like a little child on a back seat saying, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" Lord, we long for that day where the new heavens and the new earth are before us, and we as your disciples are dancing down the streets of gold where there's no more weeping or pain or death. Oh, how we long for that day, Father. We thank you for messages like this. We pray that it will be a fresh injection of hope for all of us today that are struggling under the strain of life. Would you come to us, Spirit? Ignite your word. Set a deep thirst and desire in us to get ourselves ready for when you come again. We love you, Jesus, and we believe in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm a tad excited about today's message, and I do come with a little bit of a warning. I will be a little passionate and out there, because we're talking about heaven today. We're actually looking at what lies beyond. Today is an opportunity for us as a church, and I wish we could do this more often, but this is an opportunity for us to take a glimpse into eternity. Are you ready? Are you ready to take a glimpse into eternity? What lies beyond the here and the now? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this. It's going to be pretty special, I think. That no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. We're in for something extraordinary when we take a little glimpse today into eternity that's before us as disciples of Jesus. For those that love Jesus, for those that bow their knee to Jesus today, for those that confess their sin, for those that follow the living Lord Jesus today, this message is good news of great hope. Revelation chapter 21 and 22 gives us a little minute insight into what is before us for all eternity.
I want to take us back. We're wrapping up the series. I want to take us back to week two of our series. Sam preached on the scroll and the lamb in chapters 4 and 5. So the apostle John, now get this, John was so faithful to Jesus. When Jesus was on the cross and all the other disciples deserted him, the apostle John stayed at the feet of Jesus while he was being crucified. You know, with great obedience, I think, comes great reward, because when the apostle John later on in his life is basically ostracized to the island of Patmos, he's not allowed to leave, with great love for Jesus, the Lord God Almighty gives him a revelation that we have in our book today, the book of Revelation, and the apostle John, so obedient, so loyal to Jesus, he sees all of heaven in worship. Wow. All of heaven in worship. And he sees the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, on the throne, who was butchered on the cross. And there was a moment in Sam's preaching where we see the apostle John wept because heaven went silent. Because there was a scroll. Oh, that scroll. In that scroll is the culmination of history. And no one could open the scroll. Heaven went silent, and the apostle John wept. That's what we read. If you've got your Bibles handy, in chapter 5, verses 3, we read, "But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll, the culmination of history, or even look inside it. I wept and wept, because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside." As Sam unpacked that for us, something strange happened to me as Sam was preaching. I started to weep as a pastor as well. The Holy Spirit, for some reason, allowed me to fill up in that moment in my body some of the pain and the strain that we are under just by living on planet Earth today. It was a bizarre experience because as Sam was preaching, I was weeping. I started to feel the strange weight of anxiety that we carry. The worry that we carry around in our bodies for our loved ones. The fear that we face when our health becomes uncertain. Or when our businesses start to venture south. Or when addictions choke our love for Jesus. Or when sin entangles to the point where it leaves us flat and guilty and we feel ashamed and we feel remorseful because we know that our addictions has caused pain upon the people that we love. And as I'm sitting there, I don't know how, it just overwhelmed me, this sense of weeping for the strain that many of us are under in life. And that's why 2 weeks ago, if you were here, as I took the stage at the close of the service, I just wept, genuinely wept, as I read Philippians chapter 4, where the Lord says that He is near, therefore we can bring our prayers and petitions. You see, God is not absent today. He is here. He hasn't left us orphaned. And today we get an opportunity just to lift our eyes and take a glimpse into all eternity. Today, with the stress and the strain that many of us are under in life, today, oh today, we get to take a look into eternity, and I pray that you would experience hope. I pray that you would experience a joy. I pray that you would allow yourselves to let the hope of eternity start to consume the challenge of life. For the new heavens and the new earth is coming, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The new heavens and the new earth is coming. 2 Fridays ago, as I'm sitting at my desk trying to unpack chapter 21 preparation for this message. I guess I've been in ministry for 16 years writing sermons, and I've got to say this hasn't happened to me ever. I got to the end of chapter 21, I was so overwhelmed with the reality of eternity, the joy of eternity, the hope of eternity. I was so overwhelmed, I had to honestly just walk away from my desk, make a coffee, grab a muesli bar, and I just went out to our veranda, sat in the sun and just went, God, that's too much. We don't deserve that. But you love us that much that you are preparing a place for all eternity for us. The new heavens and new earth are coming. And today I just hope that we can go from here every day living with the hope of eternity in our hearts and in our minds. So let's just for a few moments sit in the hope of eternity, even in the face of just how tough life can be for many of us today. You see, God is making everything new. If you've got your Bibles, let's go back to the passage that Sam was reading out for us in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. We see that the Apostle John, in this vision, right at the end of this vision, he sees the new heavens and the new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. And for all those surfers out there, just relax. It seems that the sea is a symbol of anything hostile towards God. In the new heavens and the new earth, there's going to be no hostility. John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for a husband. I had the privilege of facilitating Michelle Jeff's wedding yesterday, and as down in Tumbling Waters, down at Stairmore. And as she walked with her mum and dad either side of her, beautifully dressed as a bride, coming down to her husband. It's a beautiful moment. You know, it's a beautiful moment when we see the new heavens and the new earth coming. There's going to be no more tears, we read, because the God will dwell with us. He's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne, this is the Lamb of God, said, I am making everything new. The new heavens and the new earth. I don't believe that God is done with this earth today. In fact, what it's ultimately saying, I believe, is that God's heaven, His space, is going to join our space, earth, and be one. The new heavens and the new earth will be one. There will be no distance between us and God. His space and our space will join, and it's called the new heavens and the new earth that we read here. But it's not the first time in Scripture that we read about the new heavens and new earth. If you've got your Bibles handy and you want to go back to Isaiah chapter 65, Isaiah also has a similar vision. He sees this as well. Isaiah says, behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice in what I will create. And again, if you skip down to verse 24 of Isaiah chapter 65, we read, before they call, I will answer. While they are speaking, I will hear. Wow. How many of us are today sitting with the challenge of unanswered prayer? Our prayer wall is full of unanswered prayer. Can I just read that again so we don't just skip over that? Before they call, I will answer. Before we even pray in the new heavens and the new earth, God will answer. There will be total interpenetration between us as Jesus' disciples and God. In the new heavens and the new earth, God's space joins our space and God will be with us forever. But when does this all start? Well, let me point you to a really important truth. The new heavens and the new earth will start with this. It'll start with Satan's doom. Can I hear a hallelujah out there in church today? You've got to work with me here this morning. I'm getting excited. It'll be good to see you a little excited as well. The new heavens and the new earth will start with Satan's doom. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a look at chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Satan will be destroyed. His many demons that do his bidding around the world will be destroyed forever. And when I read this, I was really stirred to go back to John 14. If you want to push me about what would be one of my favorite passages in all the Gospels, John 14, because Jesus says something profound to us. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. I'm going to come to you, Jesus says. Comes to us in the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. Do not be afraid. And then there are these little words in verse 30. Jesus says, because he has no hold on me. Satan has no hold on Jesus. And therefore, as his children, he has no hold on us. And the new heavens and the new earth will begin with Satan's doom. And when all is said and done, Jesus will triumph, Satan will be destroyed, there will be no more evil, no more war, no more genocide, no more cancer, no more death, no more abuse, there will be no more addiction. Yesterday I was really heartbroken. I was up at Heathcote Oval umpiring my son's match. That's not why I was heartbroken in cricket, but standing at square leg, quite the scene emerged in Heathcote car park of a man who was wildly out of control. And people were trying to calm him down, but he was getting more and more aggressive until somebody had the common sense to ring the police. The police came, and I'm just so grateful that the police could be there to basically defuse this situation. He would have been at least in his late 40s, 50s, and it was apparent that he was high on ice, causing all sorts of mischief. The ambulance came. The situation was diffused by the police and the ambulance. But I'm standing at square leg, and I'm just saying and thinking of this moment today, thinking, no more. No more addictions. No more pain. No more loss. Satan has no hold on Jesus, and he has no hold on us. Because God's heaven, his space, will join our earth as one when Jesus comes again. There's a little statement I really would love for us to impress upon our hearts today. It's almost like I'd love for us to dance out of church this morning with this statement. It is done and we will overcome. It is done and we will overcome. Revelation chapter 21, let's get back to unpacking this passage. Verse 6, as the Apostle John saw all of heaven in worship, he was told to write down these words by one of the seven angels that feature throughout this book. It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. It is done. What is done? Pop quiz. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. And God the Father raised him back to life. It is done because the curse of sin is broken. And when we, as his children, confess our sin, he's faithful and just. He will forgive us. He's preparing a place for us in the new heavens and the new earth. It is done. Jesus is the beginning and the end. And to those that are thirsty today, this is good news. To him and her who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. You think about all those today that can't even afford some water. The first will be last, Jesus says. And for us today that are thirsty by the challenge of life, we will drink without cost. And as I read that, my mind just jumped all the way back to Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 55, we looked at this in our Easter series, The Great Invitation. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Exactly what we read in Revelation chapter 21. God is the God of water, milk, and wine. The chariots of God are so full of water, milk, and wine, they're dripping and overflowing. And to those that are thirsty today in Death Valley, God is water. For those that are longing to grow up, God is milk. And God is wine to sagging faces, because He is the real joy. And to those that long for a thirst and don't have any money, in God's eternity, we can drink from the water of life without cost. Isaiah saw it. John saw it. It's our truth today. It is done, and we will overcome. Verse 7. He and she who overcomes will inherit all of this. And I will be their God, and we will be His children. To those who overcome all of this, what is all of this? I want to go back to week one with Andrew's sermon. What is all of this? Jesus, will He unpack to the seven churches what all of this actually is? I'm only going to unpack a couple for us, but in chapter two, we actually read that we who overcome will experience the tree of life. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat the tree of life, which is in God's paradise. I really have that experience of being that child in the back of the seat going to God. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I want to be there yet. How long, God? A new name to him who overcomes, I will give a white stone with a new name written on it. We'll be remembered by God. To him who overcomes, we'll like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name before my Father and his angels. When you think about that, how many people have lived and died and been forgotten? Seriously. When we pass from this earth, as the generations continue to live, who will remember your name? Isn't it profound that we are remembered by God, and in God's eternity, our name will never be blotted out? He who overcomes. We will overcome, church, because Jesus has overcome sin and death. It is done, and we will overcome. And that's why today there is a race to be run before all of us. That is why we must keep persevering through the struggles and calling on the name of Jesus. That's why we need to reach out to each other for help, that we could pray for each other and encourage each other and gather like this. There is a race to be run. And there is also a looming challenge in this passage today to be prepared for Jesus to come. But there is a costly reality to the new heavens and the new earth coming. Verse 8 is a stark reminder of the reality of God's judgment. There is going to be a separation because of sin, and those who do not bow to the name of Jesus today, well, this is what we read. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all the liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. You see, after Satan's doom, we also read in chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, the same reality. It ought to spur us on to share Jesus with as many people as we can, because the truth of the kingdom of God is that in the new heavens and in the new earth, those that do not follow Jesus won't be there. But when we contrast that to heaven, you wouldn't want to miss out on the new heavens and new earth. I'm going to ask Christine to come and read. What is heaven going to be like? We're going to read Revelation chapter 21, verses 11 to 21.
It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass.
Wow. The new heavens and new earth, we don't want to miss out. Isn't it interesting that verse 8 talks about the separation of sin, and then 18 verses reflect on the new heavens and the new earth? What do you think God's trying to tell us by that? You don't want to miss out on the new heavens and the new earth. I will come, we read. I will come. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Who is the wife of the Lamb? Well, the Lamb is Jesus Christ. So who is the wife of the Lamb? Look to the person next to you. We, us, we are married to Jesus Christ. We are the wife of the Lamb of God. Isn't it fascinating that the first few chapters of Revelation is all about the church? And then it's almost like all the beasts and angels take the limelight. And suddenly at the end of this great book, we're back to the church again. We are the wife of the Lamb of God. C.S. Lewis has a profound quote I want to read to us. A profound quote about eternity before us. Try and hang in there. It's a little lengthy, but try and hang in there with me. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Last Battle, writes this: "The things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot write about them." It's talking about heaven. "And for us, this is the end of all stories. And we can most truly say that all lived happily ever after." Don't we long for that? Happily ever after. That is heaven. "But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all the adventures in Narnia had only been to cover the title page. Now at last, they were beginning chapter 1 of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before." I can't get my head around that. Heaven, the moments of heaven, where every chapter will be better than the one before.
See, right now we're passing beyond the bounds of space and time, and we are squarely right now, church, looking into all eternity, where every chapter is better than the one before. Right now, this is like the title page. It's not good, it's a challenge. But as we enter into the chapters of eternity, every chapter will be better than the one before. How's that possible? Oh, feel the joy today. Feel the hope in the face of life's challenge. Let yourself feel joy. We're so undeserving of this. We're sinful and busted and broken, but Jesus died for us because God loves you that much. What are we meant to notice about this city? It's pretty good for us builders out there. There's a lot of building imagery there. It's pretty good. But beyond just the carpenters and builders amongst us, what are we meant to notice about the city? Well, I believe that we are not just merely spectators. We actually become the spectacle in the city of God. We are the wife of the Lamb. The city is prepared for us. Therefore, we need to understand that God is preparing and shaping us today in the readiness for His dwelling. All the challenges that we're going through today, all the pain, all the grief of loss, all the challenge, I believe God is reclaiming our struggles. He is reshaping us today. He is preparing you to walk through those gates of pearl into the great city. Everything you're going through today, God is reclaiming, He is redeeming, He is reshaping, He is preparing us for all eternity today. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us today. So what are we meant to notice? Well, did you notice that God gives light to the city? I think how the city functions is a real mystery. We certainly see gates and walls to welcome every tribe and every tongue from north, south, east, and west who bow the name of Jesus Christ. But the walls, they're encrusted with precious stones. I think I might just take a little time there just to, wonder over the precious stones. Every gate that's going to welcome in the nations that are disciples of Jesus are a single pearl. There's not a join in the gate. Did you notice that? There's not a join. The gate is just one single pearl. And all the buildings and all the open spaces are made of crystal clear gold. Wow. We groan now. But I want to encourage us this morning that heaven awaits for those that love and worship Jesus Christ. Somehow we need to be in a posture of thanking God for what is coming. Can I just encourage anyone here today that may find themselves in a really dark place? A really dark place. You might even be here today despairing life itself. This looks like a really good alternative, and it is. But I just want to encourage you, if you're in a really dark place today, there are other alternatives than possibly ending one life and just wanting to be in heaven. Can I encourage you today to reach out to someone you trust and tell them that you're in a dark place? Our GPs place a really good function in that. But if you're in a dark place today, we need to trust in God's timing over our life. I just felt the Spirit prompt me to say that. You see, Ecclesiastes says this, "For I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that men and women may revere Him." In the great city, we will revere Him. And there's no temple in heaven. In verse 22 of chapter 21, "I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine in it. For the glory of the Lord gives light, and the Lamb is its lamp." Jesus did say He's the light of the world. Jesus is the light of heaven, and by His light we will live forever.
We are not merely spectators. In all of heaven, we are actually the spectacle. I'm going to ask Christine just to come and read the last portion of that we're going to look at this morning in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 6.
Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down in the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever.
Thanks, Christy. The river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. You know, the water of life, it flows throughout the whole of Scripture. Some of the great Old Testament prophets saw this river flowing out from God. In Joel chapter 3:18, he writes, "A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house." Ezekiel 47 says that there is a river coming from the temple of God. And Zechariah 14:8 reads, "On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem." The miraculous water of life, it flows through the whole of Scripture. Creation itself, I think, is an immense organism alive with the life of God. But the streams of water flow from the very throne of God into the middle of the streets, where those who are thirsty will drink without cost. You see, in Genesis, we start with a garden. And here in Revelation, we've got a garden city. New York ain't seen nothing compared to the great garden city that awaits, with the river of God flowing through its streets, where babies will not die and old men and women will not cry. And life, the tree of life, will be ours again. You see, the tree of life, we read that the leaves of the tree will be the healing of the nations. When Kaleidoscope was on, ladies, I was at home watching SBS World News. I need some cheering up in life. And there was this report on Mosul. And basically the whole bunch of these trucks of men and basically women and children being hurled on these trucks out of Mosul, and all the men were left behind, and the story panned on this one 11-year-old boy that missed the truck. And he had to remain behind with all the adult men. And they were squatting in lines of three. And this one 11-year-old boy stood out because he was the only minor. He was squatting, and the camera panned to his face, and just the sheer terror of being alone. I just wept. And I just thought about the new heavens and new earth, where we read that the leaves of the tree of life will be the healing of the nations. And those are the disciples of Jesus that hurt today all around the world, and yes, even in Caringbah, will experience a great healing from the tree of life that is sustained by the water of God flowing through the streets that are crystal clear of gold, where the gates are pearl seamless. We read that there will be no curse. No longer will there be any curse. In Genesis chapter 3, the fall of mankind, we are still suffering under the weight of the curse today. And right there, that curse in Genesis 3 will be broken. There's no more curse. And what's even greater in verse 4 is that we will see God.
What are you going to do when you're there? That first glimpse of God? We're going to see God. Like you're looking at me? Thank goodness God's going to look far more attractive. We're going to see God. Jesus Christ. Who says, those who overcome, God will remember your name and you will not be blotted out for all eternity. Wow. Our message of hope today is this: it is done and we will overcome. Church, we're going to overcome because Jesus promised us that he wouldn't leave us orphaned and that Jesus himself would come to us right now today. In the power of the Holy Spirit. And the most appropriate response to this glimpse into eternity today is found in verse 9. It's two words in verse 9. Worship God. That's the response. That's the application. Worship God. I think a great challenge for us today is to allow the Holy Spirit to keep preparing you, to not say no to the Holy Spirit when he wants to do that painful work of renovation of our soul. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Let God prepare you. You are actually married to Jesus Christ. We, the church, are the wife of the Lamb. And God wants to prepare you so that you can be beautiful and radiant for that day when God's space, heaven, and our earth join to become the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus says, behold, I am coming soon. And when Jesus comes, we must be found serving the King. Therefore, right now, there is work to be done. Real kingdom work. I want to encourage us in these few ways. I believe that we need to smash down idolatry in our life. When that idol of lust, it tells you that you must fall down and worship it, we must smash down that idol and say, no, I only worship Jesus. When that idol of greed wells up and says, you need more, we will say, no, we will sell our possessions and give it to the poor because we only worship Jesus. We have treasure in heaven. And if only you knew the new heavens and new earth, wow, I don't need money here. I'm going to give it away because I'm going to serve the King. Whatever sin entangles your life, and let me encourage you, if there is an addiction that you just can't get out of, it's time to get some help. Why not? Why let people that love you suffer? Because you can't arrest the addiction in your life. It's time to reach out and say, I need some help. Whatever sin is entangling, it is time for us to smash down idolatry. Let me tell you, when we say yes to Jesus, you feel joy. When we always give in to sin that entangles, we only feel guilty, we only feel ashamed. But when we say yes to Jesus, boy, there's joy. And our yes to Jesus gives him the opportunity to keep preparing us for eternity. Jesus is coming soon, therefore we must share Jesus Christ. How many weeks go by and we don't even talk about Jesus? If you love something in life, you'll talk about it. Isn't that true? I love mountain biking, I'm going to talk about it. If you love something in life, you're going to talk about it. If we love Jesus, we're going to talk about him. If you love someone in your life that isn't following Jesus, don't you want to warn them that they're not going to be a part of the new heavens and new earth before it's too late? Coming into this Christmas season, I love what Brod reflected on for us earlier in our service. We don't want to wish the weeks away. We want to welcome the weeks of Christmas. It was such a tragedy at Micah's preschool concert. I know there's a few of us that were there at Ingerden Community Centre at the preschool concert where much was made of Santa and our little ones and nothing of Jesus Christ. Society is making less and less of Jesus. So let's make more and more of the King. He's coming again. Every week there is opportunities to share Jesus Christ in the way we love people and in the words of the gospel that we need to bring. Jesus is coming. Let's get prepared. And I encourage us to stand together. Over the last 2 years, the privilege of being a shepherd amongst us, we've looked at shoulder to shoulder, and we've looked at a time to pray. Why has our leadership chosen to lead in these themes? Because we know as a church we must be together. We get really discouraged when you're not at church. It's good to see the church a little fuller this morning. I was down Cronulla praying that God will be stirring you to come. You could feel the injection of joy about eternity, but we need to stand together because the world, the flesh, the devil wants to take us away from God's preparation work in our soul. We're better together. We're better when we reach out and we say, can you help me? I'm just struggling in this sin. Can you just pray for me? We don't have to come to CBC with, hey, I'm happy, my life's all together. But we can be real. And when we stand together, we're stronger. But when we're isolated, the devil's got us. He'll just keep accusing us. He'll keep telling you you're not worth anything. He'll keep saying, don't go to the church. They just want your money. The Satan will just keep accusing. But when we're together, we're like coals on a fire. You know, if you take a little coal out of the fire just by itself, what happens? It loses its heat, it loses its color, it becomes brittle. If you take that coal and you put it with the other coals, what happens? It feeds off the other coals and it ignites a flame and a heat and a purpose. We are like this morning coals of a fire together. We need each other to stay hot and vibrant and ready, prepared for Jesus to come. We need to smash down idolatry. We need to share Jesus Christ. We need to stand together. I believe they are absolute keys in getting ready for the new heavens and the new earth. It is done, and we will overcome. I hope that when you're driving home today, that's just ringing in your mind. It is done, and we will overcome. And may Jesus Christ find us worshiping God alone if he was to come back tonight. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, it is so hard to find the words right now. I just thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you would die on that cross, and that you would rise again. You are the Lamb, King Jesus, on the throne. Only you can open the scroll, the culmination of history. We cannot wait for you to come. We cannot wait for your space to join our earth and be one. We cannot wait till the leaves of the tree will be the healing of the nations. We cannot wait till the curse is completely broken. Thank you, Jesus, in your death it is. But we still struggle, Lord. For each of us here today that struggles under the strain of life, come to us, Jesus. Help us to live every day with the hope of eternity. Holy Spirit, come to us and continue your work of preparing us for this great garden city. Oh, we cannot wait till we dance through those gates and dance on those streets and see your face, Jesus. Oh, we cannot wait till Satan and all the demons are destroyed forever. But Lord, we lament over those that aren't worshiping you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would send us out here with not just the hope of eternity, but a deep zeal to share you, Jesus Christ, with those that we come across this week. Bless us with an extra portion of boldness to open our mouth and to talk about you, Jesus. Lord, for many of us that are struggling under the weight of our sin, Lord, come, Jesus, come and help us to break down idolatry in our life and to worship you alone. God, come and help us. We need you, and we thank you for the great garden city that awaits. In Jesus' name, amen.